In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, although Californians know that May is a month set aside to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, the reasons are less apparent because of the customary nice weather throughout the year. However, in the Midwest and Pacific Northwest, the seasonal changes are dramatic. Throughout most of the winter months, the sky is gray or white with little sunshine. The bitter cold winds, snow and ice, are followed by periods of rainfall and overcast skies. By May, the storms have subsided. The days are sunny and cheerful. The flowers bloom. The leaves appear in the trees again, and the songs of joyful birds fill the air. The Church chose this beautiful month to express our special love and devotion to our Heavenly Mother, for her coming brought joy to the whole world. In addition to setting aside the entire month of May to express our love and gratitude to Our Lady, the Catholic Church has also chosen one day of the week to honor her. It's both interesting and instructive to consider briefly why Saturday came to be dedicated to Our Lady and later to the Immaculate Conception. In the third commandment, we read, "Remember thou keep holy the Lord's Day." Our Lord changed the observance of the Sabbath, Saturday, from Saturday to Sunday for several reasons. First, it denotes the end of the old law and the beginning of the new law. Second, the resurrection of Christ, the greatest proof of his divinity, occurred on Easter Sunday. Then also on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of the Catholic Church, and it recalls the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Apostles. According to the Catechism and the Council of Trent, the Apostles, at the direction of Christ, resolved to consecrate the first day of the week to divine worship and call it the Lord's Day. St. John in the Apocalypse makes mention of the Lord's Day in his first chapter, verse 10, and the Apostle St. Paul commands collections to be made on the first day of the week in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 16. That is, according to the interpretation of St. John Chrysostom, on the Lord's Day. As a result, Saturday, the former Sabbath, was dedicated by the Church to honor the Mother of God. This practice has been confirmed by the Blessed Virgin Mary herself on several occasions. She appeared to Pope John the 22nd and revealed the wondrous Sabbatine privilege. Those who die wearing the brown scapular and fulfill certain conditions will be released from purgatory the Saturday after their death. Our Lady of Fatima also asked for the five first Saturdays of reparation. When one of my sisters was attending parochial school, her teacher, a Sister of Mercy, explained the message of Our Lady of Fatima and stressed the importance of making the five first Saturdays. She said Our Lady had many promises if we fulfilled those conditions. Reparation to her Immaculate Heart, the conversion of Russia, peace, and then special graces before death. So while my mother and father and twin brother and I were sleeping, she got up early Saturday morning and trekked 2 miles through the snow to pray the rosary at church, attend Mass, and fulfill Our Lady's request. And then after we got up, she arrived home and was tired out and cold and full of snow. And she said that Our Lady wanted this done, and that's why she did it. Anyway, afterwards we all went as a family. She kind of shamed us into going, and faithfully every Saturday we attended Mass. Most of our family, those that could come to Mass. Later, when the Novus Ordo Missae was introduced, my mother, Father Francisco, and I had to get up early again and travel from 10 to 40 miles for Mass on Saturday. And I was a normal boy, young man, with chores and homework and sports and friends and everything on Saturday. But God and Our Lady came first, and I still never really liked the early morning Masses. I wish it was later and could sleep in. And but then as a priest, I have to have an early morning Mass too. But as I recall my childhood and high school years, besides the mandatory Sunday Mass and frequent reception of the sacraments of Holy Communion and Penance, I believe that the daily rosary and especially the Saturday morning Mass had a profound effect upon my spiritual life, my devotion to Our Lady, and my future. And I strongly recommend you and your families, even if it requires a sacrifice, to come on Saturday. It'd be impossible to determine with certainty when Saturday first became especially Mary's day, but it's worthy of remark that it was first sacred to the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because on that day, Holy Saturday, she was filled with bitterest anguish of soul on account of her divine Son being then cold in death in the Holy Sepulchre. For this reason, Pope Innocent I, about the year 417, decreed that Saturday should be observed as a day of abstinence in honor of Mary's sorrows. But in doing so, he doubtlessly only gave the sanction of his supreme authority to what had existed, at least in places, long before. As early as the 8th century, a votive Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary was assigned by Alcuin to Saturday. Alcuin wrote, "We have added a Mass of the Holy Mother of God for certain days, which if anyone sees fit, he may sing." But it's beyond question that as early as the 11th century, Saturday was considered as peculiarly dedicated to the Mother of God. "A beautiful custom," says St. Peter Damian, "has grown up in some churches, and on every Saturday, in Mary's honor, Mass is celebrated, unless some feast or ferial in Lent prevent it." St. Peter greatly promoted this devotion, as well as the recitation of the Little Office and the fast of Saturday. Pope Urban II in the Council of Clermont in 1096 made the office of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday of obligation. The same Pope introduced the preface of the Blessed Virgin into the Missal. A Scotch writer of the 14th century says, "In the days of our fathers, the Sabbath, Saturday, was held in great veneration in honor of the Blessed Virgin, principally by the devotion of women who every Saturday, with piety, restricted themselves to one meal, and that merely of bread and water." He tells how the Sovereign Pontiff set aside the whole office of Saturday to Our Lady. And he continues, "Therefore the faithful on this day, inflamed with zeal for Mary to please her Son, keep a solemn office to His most glorious Mother. They sing also her solemn Mass with the Gloria in Excelsis." As you know, most votive Masses don't have a Gloria except the Mass of the Angels and the Mass of Our Lady. "Let each of us, therefore, see whether he has the affection of a good son toward this mother," good son or daughter, "toward this mother, rejoicing more in her honor than in his own, and feeling her dishonor more than his own shame. But if a sinner can thus love Mary, how much more does her innocent son Jesus, the God of charity?" In this confidence, many churches, as they cannot set aside all the days to her, have chosen at least one day of each week. The English, who were noted before the Protestant Revolution for their devotion to the Blessed Virgin, centered it principally in her joys. St. Louis, King of France, made it a constant practice to wash the feet of several poor persons every Saturday in Mary's honor, and afterward wait on them at table. He also made provision for masses to be celebrated on every Saturday in the year in the Church of Our Lady of Chartres, which contains her veil, and desired, as far as the rubrics would permit, that they should be votive masses of the Blessed Virgin. What was true of the countries mentioned was true almost universally of every country of Europe in the East in the ages of faith. As time wore on, and by a secret dispensation of divine providence, the devotion of Catholics to the Blessed Virgin began to center more and more on the Immaculate Conception. It soon came to usurp the place of the others that had been fixed on Saturday, so that in the last few centuries, if not before that time, the last day of the week had come to be par excellence the day of the Immaculate Conception. Prior to Vatican II, throughout the United States and many other countries, the office and mass of the Immaculate Conception were of obligation on Saturdays, when the feast of a saint or a privileged feria did not fall on it. And then our congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, whenever it's possible, we always say the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. As an interesting historical fact, the Blessed Virgin was, under the title of the Immaculate Conception, was chosen as a patroness of the United States in 1846. But the solemn definition of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception by Pope Pius IX occurred 8 years later, on December 8th, 1854. As I mentioned earlier, Saturday was set aside to honor the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and on the first Holy Saturday, and I'd like to close with the story. Father Engelgrave relates that a certain religious was so tormented with scruples that he was sometimes almost driven mad. But since he was greatly devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows, he always prayed to her when he was spiritually depressed, and he derived great consolation from meditating on her sorrows. When he came to die, the devil tormented him more than ever with scruples and even tempted him to despair. The Mother of Sorrows, seeing her client in such anguish, appeared to him and said, "Why are you so downcast, my son? Why are you so afraid? You have so often consoled me by meditating on my sorrows. Jesus is now sending me to be a comfort to you. Be consoled, my son, and come with me to paradise." On hearing these words, the devout religious was filled with joy and confidence and died peacefully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.